The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
And we know that Sam Darnold's no longer here. We get that. We understand. I don't even know if...
We need an update on... We need a J.J. McCarthy update.
I think that Tubbs might have changed it, but it doesn't matter. We just want to talk Minnesota Viking football with Matthew Collar, the Purple Insider. He's going to join us now. Matthew, I'm not sure. Did the last time that we checked in, did we have one that said J.J. McCarthy?
I think that maybe Tubbs broke in and said J.J. McCarthy or Aaron Rodgers, but I think we have moved past the Aaron Rodgers thing.
Yeah, and I'm glad that we have moved past. As a matter of fact, when we're done talking here with you, we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers here in the coming segment. But let's talk Minnesota Viking football. We are less than a week away from the NFL draft. I know that you're pumped. I know that you're stoked. My first question is this. What do you think from the checklist of priorities – is at the top of the list for the Minnesota Vikings?
I think, how about this, Henry? Getting a good football player. How about that?
No, that's not good enough.
It's not? Well,
because that will be on the checklist of every team.
But it's kind of true in this situation because I think the Vikings have done so much with this roster over the offseason that they're not in a position where, if they don't come out with this or that or the other thing, then, oh, my gosh, Kwesi has failed or something like that. I mean, there's about 15 different scenarios that you could throw at me and say, do you like that? And I'd be like, yeah. If you said they trade down and take a guard, I'd be like, okay, that sounds good. They stick.
Yeah, but nobody's saying that.
I'm just saying that, have to come – I mean, it's a hard question to answer because
in terms of getting specific about what they will draft, or we know that they have a lot of different needs, but I'm talking about like when you start putting into a pecking order, we know that quarterback is not at the top. Like we clearly know that, right? So give me a couple of different positions then.
Well, I think that just based on where their depth chart is at, there's probably four different positions that you could say. But this is my point, that even if they took a wide receiver, which nobody thinks that they're going to do, I would still say that great job because you can make a good argument for it. That's my point.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
Guard, defensive tackle, corner, safety, receiver. I think pretty much anything outside of like tight end or edge rusher or running back, you could pretty clearly say like that would be a good draft pick and would make a lot of sense. And that's the whole point, is that the way they've been able to build this roster a lot through free agency has allowed them to have so many different options when they get to number 24. So if there are trade down opportunities, I think that's something that does make a ton of sense for them. But also if there's someone who's projected to be at the top, like last year with Dallas Turner, and that person drops it to 24, then they could take the best player there because they're not desperate for one of those positions.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. All right, so let me ask you this, because there is a position that I'm interested in, but I haven't done a deep dive like you have with regards to the NFL draft. What do you make of this year's crop of cornerbacks? Because I still feel like the Vikings at the cornerback positions, they got some question marks.
Yeah, I think that there's one guy who is projected in the top 15 that has a chance to get to 24, who I think would be an exceptional fit for the Vikings, and that is Jahde Barron from the Texas Longhorns. He is a versatile player, played inside corner, outside corner, and there's some criticism of his arm length, which, you know, I always kind of laugh at a little bit, but he kind of is like a Byron Murphy type of player. Really high intelligence, great communicator at the combine. If you listen to his press conference, you really got the sense like this guy sounds like someone who could, you know, be around Brian Flores with the way he communicates. I think that a lot of people like Jahde Barron, but are they going to invest in someone who isn't a lockdown corner? But the Vikings don't really play a defense that requires that, as we saw from last year with Byron Murphy. Is not a shutdown corner. He's a high IQ guy who can do a lot of different things, and I think that that's Barron. Will Johnson from Michigan is an intriguing player. He had a lot of interceptions in college, but there's also red flags. Like, he's not the fastest guy already, and if you're coming out of college, is not the fastest. You know, you're not ever going to get faster in the NFL. That's kind of a concern. He's not a great tackler. He gave up big plays, making risks to try to get interceptions, which I don't think is something that Brian Flores necessarily wants. But his upside is extremely high because he's very instinctual. Those are kind of the top guys. But then after that, there's a pretty big drop-off, and there's an expectation that most of the corners will go in the second round, that there's going to be a run there. So that would be one of those, hey, if the Vikings trade back, that they're going to have opportunities to potentially get a corner in the second round that I think are still good. And a guy that they had visit them was Siobhan Revelle, who tore his ACL last year, so there's maybe a little medical concern, but he's one of those that if he develops for a year, his raw skills are probably as good as anybody. So there's a bunch of different options there, but probably only one or two guys that they could take if they stick at 24.
Well, let me ask you about Johnson since you brought him up. I saw something on social media yesterday that said that he potentially was sliding or falling in terms of people's thoughts on him. Is that just because of the speed and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think the number one thing is that he did his workout but did not run the 40, which is a pretty clear sign. There was already concerns about his long speed to begin with, and then you don't run the 40. People think he probably would have been around 4.5 or 4.6, which is not great. Now, it's not a speed defense for the corner position for the Vikings. It's more of an IQ defense, as we saw Shaq Griffin and Stephon Gilmore, who don't run 4.4s anymore, that's for sure. At the same time, my issue with him for the Vikings is his tackling. He has an extremely high missed tackle percentage, which is just, you can't play that way in Flores' defense. Like, you have to be able to rally to the football, because a lot of what they do is they send blitzes, they count on the quarterback trying to get the ball out quickly, and then they go get him. So you'll see, like, Byron Murphy has a lot of times where he's targeted, but his average completion against into his coverage is very short. And that's what they're looking to do, but Byron Murphy's got to tackle the guy. So that's Will Johnson is one of those guys that always concerns me, like the cherry-picking type of guy who gets a lot of interceptions but isn't that great. Like, that's, you know, I don't always love that, but, you know, he is very, very talented, though.
Yeah.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're talking to the Purple Insider, Matthew Collar, here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. Let's take specifically the Vikings out of the conversation and just talk broader National Football League. What is the top storyline for you that you're interested in?
Well, I think this is not a hot take, but is any other quarterback going in the first round outside of Cam Ward? I think Cam Ward has solidified himself as the number one pick. But then beyond that, man, I have no idea. Adam Schefter was asked today about Shedeur Sanders, and his answer was like he could go anywhere from 3 to 20-something. And it's like, okay, so Schefty has no idea, which means I have no idea, which means it's actually kind of interesting because – I am not all that high on Shedeur Sanders because I just don't think he has a particular skill that stands out. Like, he's got a good arm. He's pretty accurate. He's not a great athlete, but he kind of tries to play as a playmaker, which is a scary thing. And I'm also concerned of whether he's going to lead a locker room, because some of the things he says makes me think that he thinks he's Deion Sanders when he's not Deion Sanders. Right. And you got to prove yourself to veteran players. And if he's entitled or something, it's not going to go very well. So I've been kind of concerned about that. I don't buy any of the hype whatsoever on Jackson Dart, but maybe somebody takes a risk like they did with Daniel Jones the one time. And then Jalen Milroe, the true wild card. Is somebody going to fall in love with the guy who is insanely fast and fun, but also not really a complete quarterback in any way? So I think there's a lot of intrigue with the quarterback position, and I could see 3 or 4 going in the first round. I could see 1 going in the first round.
You know, it's interesting you bring up Adam Schefter. And let me say this, and this is stuff that I've said to other people, and other people have agreed with me on this. And look, I like Adam Schefter as a person. Adam Schefter is the most overrated insider in the sports world. And I'm going to tell you why. Whenever he is on and he is asked a question, he does not ever get specific in answer of the question. He never answers the question. He dances around. Watch him on Get Up and watch him on First Take. He dances around the questions. So, I mean, I like him as a guy, and I'm not saying that he doesn't have good sources and stuff like that, but when Greeny and those guys ask him specific things, he never answers the question.
Yeah, my guess is that's from years of anything he ever says that goes wrong, he gets roasted into the sun. We all get stuff wrong. I definitely understand that. I definitely understand that. I think there's, with Adam Schefter, there is no person that has more pressure on every single answer, because every single thing he says, every single fan base will have all of their aggregators and their fans screen grab everything he says. Pro Football Talk will put it out there. And that's probably why he doesn't like to be definitive, because then if something doesn't come to fruition, then everyone's going to say he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah,
that's my guess.
I just think it's tough that when you are asked specific questions, like on Get Up and First Take and all this other stuff, whatever, because you know how this works. I mean, he kind of knows what's going to be asked of him. But I think that I like Adam Schefter. I'm not trying to rip into him, whatever, but if people just kind of observe him a little bit, and when he's asked specifically, he'll play it right down the middle, and you'll never really get that answer. All right, we're talking to Matthew Collip, the Purple Insider, here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, so since they announced the comp pick, how many overall picks do the Vikings have?
They have four, so we'll see if they get more than that. I certainly hope so. We're going to have a long 3 days.
So if you were a betting man, would you bet that they trade out of some spots to acquire other picks?
Yes. I don't know if it's going to be trading out of the first pick, but I do think that they will move down. A really good area to move down is the third round. They have the 97th pick, and a lot of times once you get toward the number 100 type of range, there's not a lot of differences on boards, and you're usually looking for guys that your scouts love, that have identified, you know, certain players that just stand out to them, they think would be a culture fit, or they see some development path or something like that. That's where you move back, and if you go from 97 to 110 or something, and then teams are always falling in love with players in the middle rounds and saying, uh-oh, there's a run on something, we better go get them. But, you know, I mean, we just haven't seen this general manager value volume in draft picks over the years. I mean, he's been very comfortable with small draft classes. So I don't expect them to end up with Rick Spielman always wanted 10 picks. I don't expect them to get to 10, but I do expect them to do a lot in the undrafted market at the end of the draft, as they've done exceptionally well over the last couple of years. So I think that's kind of Kwesi Adofo-Mensah's hack for that, of using late round picks to trade for a Cam Robinson, a Cam Akers, somebody who'll help you, and then using the undrafted market to make up for that.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, the NFL draft is a 3-day event. What is your drink of choice? Is it Red Bull? Is it coffee? What's your drink of choice?
It's always going to be Diet Dr. Pepper, man. Okay. Always and forever. That is my
always
thing.
And forever.
Always. Yep. Until they stop making it, that's what it's going to be.
Hey, Matthew, I appreciate the time, my man. Enjoy next weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Thanks, Henry. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Matthew Collar, the Purple Insider. Check out his fine work at purpleinsider.com.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.